Welcome to the Killer Frogs. This is episode 122 for March 4th, 2019. This week on the podcast, I'm joined by Ryan and Wes, along with a very special guest, Mr. Maurice Ahern. Hello, Maurice.
Hey. Glad to be here.
It has
Happy
been
to have you here.
It's been a couple of months since we spoke to you. How's everything going?
Oh, everything's going great. Doing really well. Since last time I talked, I just started off in a business and lots happened there, and just really enjoying it and being able to do a lot of good things with it.
Yeah, just to refresh our listeners' memories, you actually are into is it fair to say you're a pastry chef?
Yes, correct.
Yes. You make some of the best cookies in the world.
Yep.
Thanks. Oh yeah, and cheesecake. Yes.
My beautiful daughter sent me a jar of those cookies Maurice makes, and that really lifted my spirits. And they didn't last long, Maurice. I went through them pretty quickly, but they are really good. You can taste the butter in them. That's what I like in a cookie. You taste that butter.
That's what makes everything better.
Absolutely. Butter is better.
So you said business is going well. I think last time you were looking at a space, and how are things going?
In December of last year, moved into my own little bakery kitchen, and have been in there. And every month it's been growing since then, and just love it. Got to last year also do help with Make-A-Wish. Their big fundraiser they do in Fort Worth. Was one of the chefs in that, and from that raised $366,000.
Wow.
Grant Wishes. For kids in North Texas. As you all know, Micah went on to Make-A-Wish. His was to Hawaii. So that was really special being able to be a part of that.
Absolutely.
I'm going to do that again next year. Also, last year was in the Fort Worth Food and Wine and won a fan favorite in the dessert thing. So that was pretty cool. And
yeah,
I'm going to do it again this year and hopefully do well again. But it's going great.
That is neat, Maurice. And hey, we'll talk off air later. I've got an idea for a fundraiser for Children's Hospital or whoever, but you know, it's something they did down in Houston that was really successful. And you know, I'll talk to you about it later, but it could be done up in Dallas Fort Worth very easily.
Yeah, really. I would love to hear about it. Yeah, today I had a real special privilege. One of the real joys of doing this is just being able to do what I love and being able to, one is kind of continue to spread awareness.
Sure.
Of childhood cancer, but also just to kind of bring joy in the same time. And, Texas Motor Speedway had their media day today and was offered a opportunity to go out there and present some of those same jars that you got. I got to give out the media day to the drivers that were there and different media and staff. And that was just the opportunity to do that, but then to get to tell them a little bit and, again, tell them about Micah, but also about Cooks. And so it just – I continue to be amazed just about the blessing and opportunity to do this and carry on Micah's legacy, but also continue to be able to help others. So
absolutely.
Great.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic.
And speaking of helping others, Ryan, there's something coming up with Cook's Children on March 23rd. Why don't you tell everybody about that?
Well, yes, we're so excited about it, and we're excited to be partnering with Cook's and then joining Maurice for Micah's team, the superhero tongue twist there, superhero Micah. We will actually put the link up on Killer Frogs at the end of this podcast, and everybody can join Micah's team. We want to make it, you know, three times the size it's ever been. We want to make it as big as possible this year. We participated last year, and it was a lot of fun. We had a separate team though. We were with the group of everything. So this year we got smart and we're joining and really looking forward to spending the day out there. It is I'll let Maurice talk a little bit more about it in detail, but last year, several of us went out there. We took our dogs and we signed up for the 5K. None of us were in running condition, so we actually just walked it, which was wonderful. It was just a good time and a beautiful walk out there. It's out at that new area, Clear Fork Ranch, where they have all the new fun, you know, restaurants and stuff. And so it's a unique 5K in that they have just a ton of people out there with booths giving away food. Maurice will be out there with his delicious cookies, and everybody takes their dogs and kids. And it's just it was beautiful weather, and it's a lot of fun with music and everything. Last year it was, what reunion was it, the 100th? It's one of the annual, it was a reunion. I don't know, I remember taking pictures with it was a special year. I can't remember if it was the Cook's 100th year or what year it was, but
it was
a big deal. But Maurice, jump in, because you've done it several years now, and it's pretty special.
Yeah, how many years have you been doing this, Maurice?
This is about the fourth or fifth year participating in it. Yeah, this will be the third year serving cookies at it.
Uh-huh.
And before that was involved at least 2 or 3 years. So maybe it's about 6 or 7 actually altogether.
Are you going to be wearing your tutu again up
there? No.
I tried so hard to get Maurice down there. You see, you wear a tutu.
Yeah.
And he did. And he was a man of his word.
So. I did. I tried hard to get you in one, but I couldn't.
Nah, well, they wouldn't pick it up. Actually, you know.
Hey, if the diving coach couldn't get Wes in a Speedo.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Just saying.
Oh, my gosh. The visuals. You can't get that out of your head. Maurice, how many did you have on your team last year? And then maybe we can kind of set a goal for what we're looking for this year.
Yeah, I think last year, that's a good question. Last year it was around 30 or 40. I know I think altogether it was around 1,500 or more.
Oh my gosh, that's great. Yeah.
It's growing every year, isn't it?
It is.
One year we had, when Micah was out there, I think we had around 100, and that was really, really, I think when Wes was out there and stuff, and that was a really great year. But we've had like you, Ryan, and some others that have come out and do teams. And so, which, you know, it's just the people's involvement is whether it's on Superhero Micah's team or just coming out and being a part of it is what it all matters. And we've been seeing it gain more and more popularity and more teams. And so from this race, I think it's around 1 million, almost get close to 1.5 million that's been raised for Cook Children's Forebear Neuroblastoma and research. And one of the cool things about this actual event is as much of the proceeds they can go straight back to it. So like myself, there's Rayada, there's Bonnell's, Sammy's Underdogs, we'll have our food truck, not Sammy's Underdogs, but the food truck will be out there with hot dogs. And so all of that is the food. It's getting where it gets donated. So then again, it's great because you can, not a lot of races you come out and can get real food, the entertainment, but a lot of people donate. So then all the money's raised can go straight back. And it's allowed Cooks to do some of the great things they've been able to do with neuroblastoma. So it's really, really an awesome thing to have right here in Fort Worth.
Fantastic.
And what did they call the walk when, you know, you park and you get out of your cars and you're walking up to the starting line, and on either side of the sidewalk they have, you know, Micah's pictures there with his story. And so it's the, what do they call that? It's beautiful.
The actual word, the name for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have that every year. There's a walk where it's signs of all the different children with neuroblastomas, those who have survived it, those who are going through it, and those who, you know, have gained their wings. But you get to see all those different ones. And yeah, Micah's out there, some of his friends that he went through it with. So it's that's what makes one of the special things is to, one, is be able to see that and see the different kids that have been involved in it. But also a neat thing about this race too is a lot of families will make teams, and so families that are actually going through it right now, and so you'll see some kids out there that have survived neuroblastoma are going through the treatment right now. So it's just, it's really just a thing to really, I've never heard anybody not be involved and not enjoy it. One of those things where you just see a lot and you see the cause that it's going to. And it, and again, it's the way they've done it. And you get a lot out of it.
Sure.
As far wise as races go.
Maurice, are they making any advancements in the treatment of neuroblastoma?
They are. And with especially Cooks is partnered with a couple different groups that allows them to offer different research, cutting edge research and treatments on that. So being part of those different groups, they have access to that. But also Cooks, one of the things that Cooks has because of a blast was a big fund is MIBG. It's a type of radiation therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And so kids and all over the Southwest will come to Cooks for that type of treatment. And that's a direct benefit from the blast, them having that. So yeah, it's still got a long ways to go.
Sure.
Still for like neuroblastoma, if you're relapsed neuroblastoma, there's no known cure. It's got a long ways to go in that area, but the percentages have gone up, and there's some things right now in out in trials and stuff that seem promising. So things like this continue to help hopefully get those numbers even better.
Yeah, that's those trials and of course events like this where the hope comes from, because these new treatments, and this isn't about me, but that's what I'm waiting on right now is a clinical trial for my deal. And it's those treatments that give you hope. That's the cutting edge stuff. That's the next best thing out there. And the money raised from events like the blast, and of course private donations as well, that's what helps fund that and fuel it. And it's very important.
Hey, Maurice, will you, for those of us that may not know as much about neuroblastoma, people that are just getting to know you and the legacy of Micah, will you tell us a little bit more about the cancer and just give us a little background info on it?
So yeah, I'll just briefly, without getting into too much details, but neuroblastoma is a childhood cancer. It does occur in adults some, but it's very rare in that case. Normally, what neuroblastoma is a solid tumor cancer. And so neuroblasts are when the cells break off, the baby cells, and they go to form. Rather than forming healthy cells, they form into tumors. And so those tumors can be in different places, a lot of times in abdomens. Micah's was up in his chest spine area. But depending on the location, prognoses are better depending on where it's located.
Sure.
As Micah's case, originally it was a solid tumor. He got it taken out, and then he had and lymph nodes and got them taken out. But then later it came back, and then it got into his bone marrow. And at that point, that made it very
difficult.
All the different, he went through numerous different chemos and radiations. So that's the thing, is like there's still drugs and still things they use that they've been using for a long time. And there is new things, but it's still, it's a long ways to go in that. And as with any cancer, all our bodies are different, so they react differently. So every child is different. And so, but it's as far as cancers go, there's leukemia and lymphoma, and they've made great strides because a lot of awareness and funding. They still have long ways to go, but some of the other cancers still, there's a lot that can still be done. And the great thing, again, with neuroblastoma and with Cooks being in Fort Worth, and now with TCU even doing more in the medical field and stuff, is it's a really great opportunity to have something like this in Fort Worth. And my goal and desire is, like, hopefully one day that neuroblastoma, is not going to be a bad, and when you have it, there's going to be great results from it. And my hope and desire is that that happens from maybe someone comes up from TCU or and does some stuff in that. Really amazing.
Well, it'd be great to hear what the doctor says. You've got no blast on, but no, we got this. You know, when that day comes, it'll be a great day for everybody.
It would be never, ever give up, just like Micah said. So
absolutely.
It would be amazing.
Yeah. Hashtag NEGU. You'll see that a lot.
I use that every day myself. So, you know, it's,
yep. Exactly.
It's, yeah, it's a great one. Yes, words to live by.
Yeah, well, we're definitely looking forward to the day where these sort of walks aren't needed anymore.
Yeah,
but you're right, Maurice. I mean, these are kind of the things that, you know, the big name diseases and the ones that hit a lot of people kind of get all the big flash. But these are things that are well needed. But Cooks is doing an amazing job, not only bringing awareness, but also with everything that they're doing as far as being able to do research in this area.
And I agree.
It's amazing to have something like that in your own backyard and to see the support that this community has, and not just Fort Worth, but the entire state as well as the country comes forward and helps research centers like Cook to be able to do what they do for these kids. It's something to see.
Yeah, they have spared no expense bringing in some of the finest doctors and creating one of the best children's hospitals in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a person who's been on the board and may still be there, but we talked at length about it, about how much effort they put in to make this one. They want this a treatment destination for a lot of kids, and it's become that. And it's a good facility, and Fort Worth should be proud of it.
I agree. Yeah. Great staff, great doctors, great nurses, the people on the committee, just like you said, it's a lot of great people are involved. And I also just want to say, like, what when Warren was talking about with the race, I had intentions to run, and I'm going to still run, but I have a feeling I'm probably not going to run the whole time. But
say, like, me either.
And you'll be out there.
That's the nice thing about this is, like, literally just you can come and walk. You can come and run. You can enjoy the festivities and not do either. Or you can donate. I know you can donate in honor of Mike, or you can donate in honor of another child with neuroblastoma. But there's many ways to be involved, and the amount, no amount's too small. It really does.
Are any of the Shriners hospitals involved in neuroblastoma research?
Yes. Yeah, there is. There is different hospitals. So there's different hospitals that are part of, like, there's a COG group, and then there's a NINT, different hospitals. So yes, there are. I saw something the other day. I was reading an article about one, but now the name's escaping me. The actual name of the hospital. But yes, I just saw the thing the other day that TCU baseball did when they were out in Arizona with that child with cerebral palsy, and I thought that was really, really awesome.
Yeah.
And they, of course, I mentioned the Shriners because they got the big Shriners Hospital baseball tournament in Houston this weekend. I think, of course, our beloved Aggies are down there. But I may fizz up one of the game myself. So, you know.
There you go.
I don't think my fist will get me in for free, but you know, you never know.
There you go.
But anyway, yeah, that's it's great to see Schlossnagel actively involved in things like that. He was really close to Micah, and that little boy. I don't know if you've seen the picture of it. I can't. Maybe he's got cerebral palsy, but there's a picture of him, this young boy, and Schlossnagel, and he was kind of the face of the Shriners Hospital last year. And he's very articulate little boy, and he's been on commercials. And there's a picture.
Yes.
They use that picture of him, of Schlossnagel, that little boy, as kind of the promo piece for the Shriners Hospital tournament in Houston this weekend. So, yeah, it's pretty neat. It's pretty neat.
Well, Frog fans Maury's certainly good. Have one Give heck us- of a baseball coach. Sorry, Ryan, didn't mean to step on you there.
Oh, no. No, that was okay. We sure do. I'm just elated that he stayed, you know, with us and didn't leave us. So, and for those of you who are new to this, if you ever go out and see the Horned Frogs play baseball, you will see superhero Micah. It's an M, very, very similar to the Superman's emblem yep. on his, the front. It's on there. They wear it on every hat they have, and it's everybody who knows the story knows, and it bring a little tear to your eye. But he will forever, little Micah will forever be an angel in our outfield. So
everyone's favorite TCU baseball player.
That's right. Absolutely. Anybody had the Frog Factor, it was Micah.
Yeah. I want to brag story. A couple things with the baseball team that a lot of people, because they don't do it a lot for publicity, but is the former TCU baseball player alumni. Every year they do a golf tournament. Mm-hmm. This year, the last year and this year, the money they raised from that, they put it into the neuroblastoma.
Oh, fantastic.
Again, just that them doing that is just pretty amazing. And then some of the guys, I think it was nine. It was might have been nine total. But right before they were getting ready to go off to spring training, they came up to Cook Children's, and they had Brian Howard, Brandon Finnegan, Holiday, O'Perk.
Wow.
There's a number of them, and they were out there and just playing in the atrium, throwing the baseball, doing the ball. So, again.
Was Evan Scalg able to make it?
Yeah, Evan was there too.
Yeah. I
forgot him. Oh, Evan was there.
Yeah.
And there's a couple others that my brain's going blank. But just it was just awesome seeing him out there. And but the kids just, you could tell they were liking it. So again, things like that. It just, again, the TCU baseball program, now but former ones too, it's just really special. And a lot of that, Coach Sloss and administration, others, just I want to thank them for that, but also you guys have a lot to be proud of.
It's that Frog Factor we all always talk about. That baseball team sure does have it.
They sure do.
Well, Maurice, give us an update on your other kids. What are they up to? Growing up fast, I'm sure, and what are they into these days?
Yeah, yes. Grace is a senior. She's graduating this year.
Oh, my goodness.
Nolan is getting ready to go into junior high.
Wow.
And Eden, she's growing up, too. She's going into third grade, and they're all, they're all doing, well, considering. They definitely miss their brother.
Of course.
And but they definitely picture each one of them the resilience of Micah and the never ever give up and where they are, each one of them. And Nolan's doing soccer and he's loving it, and they're doing great.
Good.
That's good to hear. Well, we thank you so much for joining us tonight. We will definitely get the link up on our website, coolfrogs.com, and then promote it socially. Feel free to share it as much as anybody who's listening, share it out as much as possible. And like Maurice was saying, you don't have to run or walk. You can just come and grab a drink and cookie and just hang out. Or if you can't even be there the day of the race, then you can just donate $5, $10, $20, $100, whatever you can share. And any amount is wonderful. So please take a look at that on the website, and we'd love to spend that time with you on that Saturday if possible. So.
I agree. And wear purple if you come out and
always
in honor of my sister.
Yeah, and as Ryan said, anything that you can give, it gets us $1 closer to a cure.
That's right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you got to think about
that's
that.
That's exactly right.
Well, I've got some information about this, so if you guys want to sit tight, let me walk through this and let the Frog fans know exactly where to go to go ahead and sign up. But as we've been talking about here, make sure to join the KillerFrogs.com and Cook's Children on March 23rd at The Blast. We're going to run, walk, and dine to make a difference in the lives of patients and families fighting neuroblastoma, which, as we've been talking about, is a rare and aggressive form of cancer. You know, this Blast event, it features a one-mile fun run, like we've talked about, and a 5K at the heart of the ranch in Clear Fork. Participants will also have the opportunity to enjoy food, drinks from all local Fort Worth vendors. As Maurice mentioned, there's going to be food trucks out there. You don't have to run, just come for the food. But this year, KillerFrogs.com will be joining a team in memory of Micah Ahern. Micah, of course, as we've been talking about, he's everybody's favorite TCU baseball player. He's our honorary superhero mascot, teammate, unfortunately, that we lost back in 2016 at the age of 12. But you know what? We're encouraging you guys, come out, join our team. It's called Superhero Micah, as we join Cook's Children as they continue to fight to find this cure for this particular disease. And you guys want to go, visit nbwalk.org. That's NB as in neuroblastoma, walk.org. Go ahead and join our team. Or make a donation. If you can't make it out to Clear Fork, and we all know everybody has, you know, life gets in the way sometimes, but if you can make it, like I said, this is a fantastic place right in our own backyard. It's a wonderful day, great event. Come out and have a cookie. I guarantee you, you can't eat just one cookie. You're going to have more, but come on out and join us. And Ryan, do we still have a code for a discount? Is that still...
We do, yes, and that will be everything will be on killerfrogs.com. What we're going to do, we're going to put it on our main page, the main page, and then we'll also put a thread in the forum, and then we will also put it on Twitter and Facebook. So hopefully that will cover everything, and the code will be right there for everybody to see, and just plug it in. That way you're put on the correct team, and and then
yeah,
we'll
you want to
see
get on the
out
right
there.
Team. You don't want to be with a bunch of maroon people from A&M.
It's true, we don't. And there will be, we will, the day of the race, have a surprise for everyone to, so we're all identified as a part of Micah's team. So just, yeah, wait on that. We'll announce it when it gets closer to the race. But if you sign up through Killer Frogs or Micah's, on Micah's team, period, then you will receive that.
Perfect. Perfect. Let's make it happen, Frogs.
Yeah. Well, Maurice, we're certainly looking forward to the event. And really thank you coming on. And it's good to hear things are going well for you and your family. And, you know, we all miss Micah, but we appreciate everything that you do and continue to do for this battle. And we're all hoping for success.
Thank you so much. And thank you, Killer Frogs. I can't say thank you enough. You all are wonderful. Mean a lot. And I'm trying to keep together, but thank you.
No, I understand, but Micah serves as an inspiration to everybody. And it's just, I know it's tough. I've been in your shoes, and it's tough, but it's, you know, he does inspire, and he lives in everybody's heart now. And that's a good place.
I agree.
Yes.
Amen, Wes. Well, Maurice, I know it's late. You can stick around. We do have a few housekeeping items that we're going to go over here because there are a few TCU athletic things that we do want to cover for the rest of the night. And you're free to stick around and talk about it. But I know if you got to go, no problem.
Sure, I can stick around.
All right. Good.
All right.
Well, so we'll start off. Let's talk a little baseball first. And tonight we're recording this on what is this Wednesday night?
Wednesday night.
Uh-huh.
And TCU was down 10-3 in the bottom of the second, but I guess luck or fortune shined on the Frogs because a fog rolled in and the
I think Micah pushed the fog in and
that's exactly
thank
what
you,
happened.
Micah.
Thank
yes.
you.
Tell you what, that was fortunate, wasn't it? down seven runs in the bottom of the second, and the fog rolls in, and they cancel the game. So, you know, hopefully when they pick back up, that's a little bit better score there. But, you know, this baseball, Wes and I were talking about this earlier on, and Wes, you made a mention that this team early on is starting to look a little bit more like your typical TCU baseball team as opposed to the start we kind of had last season.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I've only seen one game, and that was last week against Abilene Christian, but it looks like
Come on,
we
Wes,
played.
I set you up perfect there, and then you let everybody know I've only seen one game.
Well, but live. Okay, how about that? But they're playing good defense. The pitching is always is pretty good. Hitting seems to be better.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
We hit five home. We don't have a Luke and Baker. But we've got some guys that can poke the ball out of the over the fence. And of
we've
course,
had
last
nine home runs so far this season.
It's nine so far this
yeah,
season.
Yeah, it's
five
incredible.
In game last
mm-hmm.
week.
The grand
more importantly,
Holy
is
moly.
The batting average.
Batting yeah. average is .311 right now, which yep. is not too bad. And I think the opposing average is .261 Ooh. Or something like that. .266
Yeah, like mid 200s.
Yeah, and so it's looking like more and more like a return to TCU baseball. Defense, from what I see, of course, you know, you and I talk about this, Sean. We pretty well took Martinsville Community College infield, you know, out of Tennessee. With we brought in Hunter Wolf to play shortstop, and then Justin Henry, I believe, to play second base. It was their, you know, that was their middle infield right there. Yeah. We moved Adam Oviedo to from shortstop to third base, which is probably more of his natural position from what I saw him last year. And so, and Jay Gunther's at first base. So it's
yeah, left-handed first baseman.
Yeah.
And we haven't had that in a while.
Yeah.
Again, we don't have anybody like Luke and Baker and do the moonshots, but what difference does it make going over the fence anyway? So, but the team batting average is good. Looks like they've got a good stick. Risers on a tear right now in center field. It's looking like a good, pretty good Sun team. And early on, before the season started, I was talking to Schlossnagel about it. And he said, overall, if our pitching stays healthy, I really like this. I really like our team's chances.
Definitely.
And
I think
so far,
kind of figure out. Yeah, well, I was going to say, if we could figure out closer position, that would be that'd be nice in this.
Yeah, I think we've had years, Riley Farrell and Durbin Feltman. I mean, you got that mid to high 90s fastball coming at you, and that's. You like to see it in a closer, but I think this year, Ryan, is it Marcello Perez? Is that right, our closer? Or
well, I've been to probably, I think I've seen three games in person. I don't know. It's hard. I've got everybody down who you know, plays in the infield and outfield, but I haven't gotten the pitchers down yet. It's a brand new team. I mean, we've got Watson and Janzik back as seniors that right. we all know very, very well. But everybody, I mean, we've had a lot of transfers. It's basically a brand new team. So I'm having to learn a lot of these names. I can't answer your question this week, next week.
Well, I know Perez closed one game out the other
day. Yeah, he did.
Last week.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he's not my prototypical closer. He's only 5'10 mm-hmm. and 175 pounds, which doesn't, not really big,
but he is a freshman. So
he is a freshman, and you know. Of course Feltman was 6'6", and so was Riley Farrell. And mm-hmm. I don't know what kind of velocity Perez got, but you know, if Sloss is comfortable using him as closer, who am I to complain? So, and the rest of the pitching: Brandon Williamson, the JUCO out of I think Weatherford Junior College.
Yeah, there's one from Weatherford. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think he's looked pretty good. Of course, Lodolo had a great game last Friday. We kind of wasted his 10 strikeout effort.
Yeah.
Without by not hitting the ball, but he's solid. So I think we're going to be pretty good shape. We'll see what happens when we get in the conference play. But
we're finally hitting. You know, the last two seasons, last season was a little better, and the season before that was just sad because our pitching was so great. But yeah, I mean, it's exciting. I mean, to lose a game. What was the first game of that one series out in Phoenix? I mean, would we have like 12 hits, even though we lost by one or two runs? We should have won it. So yeah, it's an exciting season. It's always baseball's always more fun when you're scoring runs.
Sure, but then we turn around and beat number one Vanderbilt, which is a big deal, of course.
Yeah, that was a good win to get.
After that, no, Schlossnagel said, "Don't take the cheese," meaning. Okay, you beat number one. Don't get too full of yourself over that. So
Well, then we turn around and we drop one to what, Grand Canyon. So,
well, but you know, that's one of those teams that they're out of
Phoenix, yeah,
and they're not really well known, but they're kind of Coast Carolina. They've got a solid little program, and they can rise up and beat you every once in a while.
Well, it's Saturday was an exciting game. I mean, we had 17 runs. I think it was 17 to 4 or 5 that we won. But then Sunday, my gosh, you know, they were ahead in the beginning, and then we pulled ahead by three or four runs, and then we had a couple errors, which kind of stunk, and they kind of caught back up. But it was a little scarier than I wanted it to be, but we still prevailed. So
we won. Good.
Exactly. And I mean, it's a long, you know, baseball. That's what's so great about baseball is you lose one. It's not, you don't have to like go jump off a cliff like you feel like you have to with football.
No, you still have about 45 or 50 games left to play. So you're ready to go.
Yeah. Well, let's also let's move over here from baseball to basketball, and basketball's. We had really, really high hopes going into the season, and then injury bug hits us. The transfer portal opens up in the middle of the season, and next thing you know, this team still looks like it can do some damage, but it looks like we're going to have to do something major in the Big 12 tournament to make the NCAA tournament here next month. So, what are you guys thinking about basketball so far?
Well, I mean, of course, losing Jalen Fisher was a big blow. I don't think we have anybody on there that can do what he did.
Yeah, that's right. It's been a few weeks since we've been on the podcast. We didn't actually go into all the behind the scenes drama that we've been through. But I forgot we hadn't had a chance to talk about that.
Of course, is he the third or fourth guy that's? I mean, we had Angus Williams, a kid out of New Zealand who's transferred out.
I think he's the third. Unless I missed something in the last couple of weeks.
That guy who was the number one JUCO center in the country, I can't pronounce his name. I'm butchering his name, but he transferred out. And then Caden Archie. He was one of the top recruits in the country. But now what I heard people say, and I didn't have the benefit of being able to see him play this year, but I've heard people imply that he felt like he was ready for the NBA and just wasn't satisfied with his playing time. Now, whether or not that's true, I don't know.
Yeah.
But, you know, he wouldn't be the first one to have that kind of attitude coming to college. And then, you know, you got to earn playing time. It's not going to be given to you. So,
amen. Well, I think that's one of the reasons, and this is something we didn't really go over when we did our last podcast and we were kind of going over this transfer portal issue, is that I think basketball is the hardest hit sport when it comes to this, because you could take the NBA could take somebody straight out of high school. You know, and yeah, you could do that with baseball, but baseball is a little bit of a different animal. But in basketball though, I mean, you're dealing with these kids and they've got these really big egos. And if they don't feel like they're getting the playing time right, or they think that they already deserve to be in the NBA, they're just going to transfer on you. I mean, they're not even giving it a second thought, and this is a terrible precedent. But
well, I think so, and I think the NCAA wisely has said they're going to take another look at this transfer portal, because all they did was create free agency for college.
Absolutely,
and it's terrible, and everybody's going to be affected by it. And I don't know what the heck they were thinking, but you know, hopefully they close the loop on this thing and put an end to it, or do something with it to make it a little harder, where it's just not easy in, easy out type of situation.
Right. Yeah. I mean, they got to do something, because some of these players obviously have a good reason as to why they need to transfer in a lot of cases, but it's going to be misused. And we've already kind of seen that begin this season, and it's only going to get worse unless they kind of tweak it or do something and get rid of it altogether. I don't know what they've got to do, but yeah, they've got to do something. So
the old adage, you give them an inch, they'll take a mile, comes into play.
If you give a mouse a cookie.
There you go. Well, you give me a cookie, I'll eat it. But, you know.
I wanted to say something real quick. I might have touched on it the last time we had a podcast. I can't remember that far back. But Mike and I were able to go to the KU game back when we played them and should have won, but we barely lost. But,
right.
You know, people have asked, what was the game experience like? And, of course, it's neat because it's KU. It's a nostalgic gym and all that good stuff. But you know, I left telling Mike, I said, I enjoy TCU games better. I mean, I think fans, we get spoiled as fans. What our marketing does, what our coaches do, what our players do, everybody involved in the whole fan experience, really for any sport, but I'll focus on basketball right now. There's no better fan experience than what you'll experience at a TC basketball game. And secondly to that is just our arena. I love that our arena is round and not oblong. I know that's random, right? But it is, it's just so intimate. We're all just right there on the court. It feels, even if I literally sit in the last row on the home side, but I'm still there. You know, like I still feel like I'm
there's
in the
not
game.
A bad seat in the house.
It's really not. It's just such a, I don't hide the fact that basketball is not my top sport, right? I love baseball. It's forever. This is my favorite time of the year. And so to get me to go to a basketball game, it's got to be a great experience. And it is. Like, I thoroughly enjoy it. And the last game I went to, I had the opportunity. John Denton was so kind that he offered me the club seats, where you get to go into the club area, the courtside club, which is very fancy, and then, you know, sit in the nice club seats down on the court, where they have, it's a cash bar, but then they have really good, I mean, excellent, the best food I've had in a long time. It was really, really good. And it's just such a, it was packed. I felt like, I told everybody, I was like, I feel like royalty. I mean, it was just so nice. I mean, it's so, and I got to see a lot of old friends, which was fun too, but just the whole experience. I wish we all could, you know, have those seats and that fan experience back in the club. It's done really, really well. And I don't think that sometimes we take those things for granted as TCU fans, because we've just grown so accustomed to that's the Frog Factor. That's just the way TCU does it. And we forget that not other schools do that. Not everybody has that access. So a little shout out to everybody who has made the fan experience what it is. We really appreciate it.
Excellent.
Yeah, definitely. We have a really nice kind of intimate relationship between the fans and the teams, and it's something that, you're right, we kind of take that for granted sometimes, because other universities do not have that, and it's a nice thing to have here at TCU. It kind of brings us together as one big happy Frog family. So
true.
It is all good. So as the last item that we have on here, we have a couple of moves here on the football staff. Wes, take us through this new wide receiver coach from Houston.
Yeah, we have a new wide receiver coach. Malcolm Kelly, who was an All-American wide receiver out of Oklahoma, has been a graduate assistant at Houston for the past couple of years. And apparently he is a new wide receiver coach. I don't think it's been officially announced, but it has been reported in several different publications. So it looks like he's coming in. Rusty Burns has been the wide receiver coach. It appears that he's moving over to the analyst position on the offensive side of the ball, which I think is good, because I think that's one thing that Sonny Cumbie has probably lacked. Remember, 2 years ago, we had Sonny Dykes there, was kind of a voice of maturity and experience, helping him guide the offense and plan it. And I think Burns brings the same mentality to that position on the offensive side of the ball for Sonny. So I think it'll overall be pretty good. It'll be interesting to see how Malcolm Kelly, if our wide receiver production increases or what. I've always thought we didn't block very well in wide receiver decision. So maybe he can bring a new blocking mentality to that unit, and we'll see what happens. But I think Patterson probably made a pretty good choice there. It's from what I've read. This guy was an All-American and played for the Redskins a little bit, and then he's got some credentials and he's been a wide receiver. So,
and not only was he All-American, he was a freshman All-American back in 2005.
Yeah.
And every Frog fan remembers the 2005 season when it came to play in Oklahoma. I tell you what, I mean, this is a guy who has seen TCU up close and personal.
Yep.
And has felt the Horned Frogs come in and beat his Sooners in a year that he was breaking records for Oklahoma that season. So it's good to have somebody who I would say is a really good representative receiver as far as the type of player that we want to kind of grow up our guys to become. And it's good to see that Patterson has gone out and got a guy like him to come in and teach these kids. So
yeah, absolutely.
That's fantastic. And then, so where's Rusty Burns move to, Wes?
He's an offensive analyst, from what I understand.
Analyst. That's one of those new – is that one of the new positions that they opened up? I can't remember if they – I forgot.
Well, analysts have become the latest thing. I mean, Nick Saban started out at Alabama. He probably has 50 analysts out there.
Right.
You know? I mean, it's just – but he's the one that started. And, of course, every school has taken him. I think Tom Herman out of Texas took David Beatty, the old Kansas head coach, in as an analyst. So, you know, it's probably a great position for somebody, a little more seasoned coach who's been around the block once or twice and seen, knows offense and knows the lay of the land. I think it's a great place for somebody like Rusty Burns. And, you know, I don't think he's involved in recruiting from the analyst position, although he can show, I don't think he can go off campus recruiting. Sure as heck show him around when they come in to visit.
Oh, yeah.
So I think it's probably a good place. And he was a good recruiter in Louisiana for us. So that's taking him off the field out of the field is – I just hope Malcolm Kelly can keep it up. Hopefully Rusty's got those relationships established and Kelly just pick up where Burns left off.
Yeah. It's looking good. Hopefully that'll translate to this upcoming season for the Frogs.
Absolutely.
When we get to football. And I think with that, unless I'm missing anything, Ryan, you got anything else for us tonight?
No, I'm good. Just
all right,
just a reminder to, you know, go sign up for the Blast 5K.
Do it.
Absolutely.
Make it happen.
That. And we will have that up on the site here this week. So by the time you're hearing this, just go to killerfrogs.com and you'll find out all the information about the neuroblastoma walk for Cook's children, excuse me. And we'll have all that information up there for you. So with that, I think we've come to the end of the podcast. I want to thank everybody who has been with us tonight, especially Maurice. Thank you so much for sticking in there, and thanks for joining us tonight.
Yes, thank you, Sean and Wes and Ryan, for letting me be a part.
Absolutely. Anytime. You're always welcome.
You're family, my friend, so you're always welcome.
Just keep those cookies coming.
Yeah, Family provides family the cookies, Maurice. That's the rule.
They will keep
and pumpkin cheesecake.
So. Yeah, and Wes, you make it up here, there'll be a pumpkin cheesecake.
Oh, I'm on my way. You're talking my language.
Oh. Hey, Wes, I'll you know what? I'll sacrifice. I'll go pick it up for you, and next time I'm away, I'll bring it to you. Is that a deal?
Don't let her leave with a fork in her hand, okay?
I promise I'll leave half for you. I'll eat half on the drive down.
Are you okay?
You'll leave me at least a slice there, Wes.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. Just a slice.
Maybe, if you're lucky. Some crumbs. That's all good. All right, well, with that, we've come to the end of the podcast. Again, I want to thank everybody out there who's listening to us. We are on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher, pretty much everywhere you can listen to podcasts these days. And, of course, if you'd like to help us out, please go on to iTunes and give us just a quick little review. It kind of helps the podcast get discovered by other individuals, other Frog fans that are looking for TCU athletic news. And, of course, you can go to killerfrogs.com, sign up for a free account, and discuss TCU athletics with the rest of us knuckleheads. Remember Frogs Wire to get all of your TCU news. So with that, we've come to the end of the podcast. It's the time where we all get our frogs up and say...
Go Frogs!
All right.
Whoo!